As record heat waves blanket the world, we want to begin a look at a global movement to make air conditioning a human right. We know your first thought might be, but air conditioners increase electricity use and the emissions that are causing climate change? Yes, but there are ways to be greener about cooling off, and there is definitely a deadly inequity. In the hottest and often poorest regions in the world, just 12% of people have AC compared to 90% in the U.S. Dr. Morgan Bazilian from the Colorado School of Mines has been looking into air conditioning as a universal right. And Dr. Bazilian, we know it's deadly. I mean, 1,500 people in one heat wave in Britain died. But heat waves also mean people can't work.
Yeah, that's right, Robin. Look, the most air conditioning units are in residents in people's homes, and that's to protect them in their homes from the heat waves. But the heat waves themselves are having huge economic effects and public health effects on people's ability to work and therefore on their economy's ability to thrive. And so those have further knock-on effects that are not just public health.
Yeah. And so talk about the biggest concern, that if you do provide air conditioning, and there is a move to provide air conditioning to countries like India, then you increase the problem, which is the global warming. We know you and others are talking about more efficient cooling technology. What are you looking at?
If you look at an issue where you're going to want to increase the energy demand in developing countries, then we have to go back to the fundamentals of how we design energy systems and how we focus.
You talk about it's an opportunity now to build cleaner and more equal energy systems. For instance, solar power generation is perfect for some of these countries where peak solar is also peak heat, when they can be using ACs that are purely solar driven, planting more trees. I mean, this is an opportunity to think of ways to bring not just equity, but more efficiency.
I think that's right, Robin. And what we've seen is we don't have to focus only on supply side economic policies. What we really can do is go back to the things we've known work for the last 50, 60 years, which are focus on demand and efficiency. And as an example, in the AC market, there are companies like Carrier in the United States that are making AC units three times more efficient. So not a matter of 10 or 20%, but three times more efficient than the current market. So the technology is absolutely here, and the technology is not the obstacle to getting these things out. Well, then we have to deal with the messy issues of politics and policy.
Well, I was just going to ask, who does this? Who implements this policy? And by the way, you talk about a more efficient AC from Carrier. One of the problems, critics say, is that American companies have been dumping old, inefficient air conditioners on poorer countries, as if they can check that off their list. That needs to stop too. But who mandates this?
At the level of policy, the national and local governments are the key players. At the level of getting this onto the priority attention of decision makers, then multilateral organizations like the United Nations can have an important role. And as an example, the UN already has several initiatives focused on AC cooling, as well as the type of refrigerants used in AC units. And those are ongoing. But at the level of making standards, efficiency standards, and non-dumping practices, as you mentioned, that is going to have to be at the national level to be enforceable and robust.
Well, here in the U.S., there are already laws about landlords, building owners having to provide heat to tenants in winter in some parts of the U.S. But it's varied across the country as to whether or not states will require landlords to provide AC. Some states do, some states don't. We're seeing reports of a woman dying in her apartment in Portland, Oregon, or a restaurant here in Boston whose new landlord cut off the air conditioning to the restaurant. Do you think that it ought to be required by law here in the U.S.?
Well, certainly in some jurisdictions, in the same place where you traditionally may require heat, you're now going to have to put in place regulations to require cooling in some parts of the country. And that's for the same exact reasons you would have to provide heat. And so that's a matter of equity and justice. And I would say that, you know, under this administration, the kind of policies to look at what is sometimes called energy justice. In other words, providing energy services for those who need them the most has been very active. And in fact, aspects of that are part of that new Inflation Reduction Act. And so I think you're going to see a sort of strong movement under this administration to make sure that things like cooling become as mandatory as heating in some places.
Yeah. Dr. Morgan Bazilian, I think it's time to walk the dog.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. We really appreciate your time. You're director there of the Colorado School of Mines Payne Institute. We thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Robin.